They're going to scare somebody. So Luke chapter 9. We're starting a new journey today. We're going to start journeying toward Calvary, and I hope you'll join us for that journey again. To all our guests, thank you for being here, and thank you for grabbing one of those Connect cards and helping us out, being able to say hello to you and send you a nice note. We love to do that. And if there's a way we can pray for you, if you have a change address, you can use those as well. One last time, let's stand and pay honor to God and His Word. If you'll switch me over to the pastor preaching setting as well. So Luke chapter 9, verse 51. And it came to pass when the time was come that he should be received up, he steadfastly set his face to go to Jerusalem. If you have your Bibles there and you underline or highlight, that's a good one to underline or highlight. Verse 52. And sent messengers before his face. They went, entered into a village of the Samaritans to make ready for him. There's a big enough group that's traveling here. He basically would send the young men, send some of these folks ahead and say, hey, there's a good group, a big group of us coming. Good group of us coming. And so make sure we're here. We want to stay. We want to minister to you. They knew exactly what he wanted to do. Verse 53. And they did not receive him because his face was as though he would go to Jerusalem. Verse 54. And when his disciples, James and John, saw this, they said, Lord, wilt thou that we command fire to come down from heaven and consume them, even as Elias did? Now here's a big response, isn't it? This Samaritan village said, no thank you. And James and John, these sons of thunder, they said, you know, yes, why don't we just consume them? That'll show them, right? That'll show them. Anybody here that you know somebody that's got that temperament? Well, if they don't like it, they can just, you know, we just nuke them. We just take them out. Well, I just won't have anything to do with them. You know, if you grew up in the 80s and 90s, you do talk to the hand, you know, and they're just, you know, this is it. Not much compassion. How many of you don't feel the love in that verse, right? They don't want you, Jesus? Well, fine. Burn them. But he turned and rebuked them. Aren't you glad Jesus isn't like we are? And said, you know not what manner of spirit you are, for the Son of Man, underline, highlight, has come to not to destroy men's lives, but to save them. And they went on. They went to another village. I want to help us this morning. I want to answer a question. Why does Easter matter so much? Why does Easter matter so much? And hopefully you got a handout maybe as you were entering in the lobby. Would you pray with me one more time? Father, front to back, left to right. Those that are watching online, those that are watching on YouTube and Facebook, I just pray you'd speak to our hearts. In the mess that is our culture, in the busyness that is our lives, I think we need a good answer to this question. So I pray you'd help us. Speak to us right now. Use us, I pray. And Father, I ask in these moments that you'd work in our hearts. Father, I pray the technical difficulties would resolve. I pray there'd be no distractions. Lord, I pray that even now that you would just work in a real way. And Father, speak to our hearts. Lord, I'm thinking about so many things. Lord, I just need to think about this. So focus me in. May I preach your word with power and authority. I ask you to work right now in our lives and help us. I pray it all in Jesus' wonderful and precious name. And amen. Amen. You can be seated. You can be seated. I got this. What we need? Yeah. Is it on the preset? Is it back on the preset? Okay, good deal. We'll work through it. It's a little hot up here, but we'll work through it. Yeah, just whatever the preset is, we'll leave it there. So I've got a couple of things on the screen here. A couple of things on the screen. I had a couple of things on the screen. I changed them back. So I think there's three basic responses to Easter. How many of you like at least three options and not just one option? How many of you do that? Andre and I used to like going to a restaurant when on special occasions, and they had several things on the menu. It was steak, steak, or steak. That was all you could eat. And if you wanted something else, you were at the wrong place. And it was just a little hole in the wall, but we enjoyed it. But I think there's three basic responses here. If I say Easter, then this is how it goes. I think the first one is Easter as an adjective. Easter as an adjective. So what do you mean? Well, if I say Easter and then you give me a word after that, how many of you think you'd give me a word after that? Just go ahead and yell it out. There are no wrong answers. Easter bunny. Who said bunny? Bunny. All right, Andrea. All right, Andrea, you're not real spiritual. You can leave. I'm serious. What else? Easter what? Easter eggs. Easter egg. Yeah, Easter eggs. Yeah, that's a good one. Somebody else. I thought I heard my one. Easter Sunday. All right, you spiritual people, you can stay. Spiritual people. Yeah, I see that hand in the back. Easter Sunday. All right, very spiritual people. Easter chocolate. Easter candy. I've got Easter candy written down here. Yeah, Easter candy. Who else? Easter dinner. Right. Some kind of festivity with family and all. I grew up with ham. Ham. We may not eat it at any time of the year, but we're going to eat ham on Easter, around Easter. Yeah, somebody else. Easter basket. That's number two for me. Easter basket with loot in it. How many of you like a basket with good loot in it? Good loot. Good stuff. Good trimming. What else? Anybody else? Nobody said the thing that I hated as a kid. Even when we did go to church, we always got these. Easter clothes. Easter clothes. And then there was the obligatory Easter photo. Anybody here got a whooping, got disciplined after or around the Easter photo because you wouldn't cooperate? Or is that just my memory? Okay. Good deal. But you got Easter clothes, you got Easter, and you got all kind of things, right? You got an Easter family photo. Some people get together. When we first came here, we had people say, we're not going to be here for Easter service because we're going to go have a photo made with our family. And I went, I don't think you understand. And they're well-meaning folks, I'm sure. But yeah, we use Easter so many times as an adjective. Other folks say Easter and they go, yes, yes, because they're all excited. They're jazzed. Man, Easter, and they use it as the event. And they talk about Easter this way. And Easter, yes, Easter's coming up. 4 weeks to Easter, 3 weeks to Easter, 2 weeks to Easter. Easter is here. Woo! And that'd probably be a good way to feel, right? Anybody know anybody like that? Like, just me. Okay, yeah. Just me. Yeah, Easter. And then I think this is the large part of us. Easter? Okay. Give me a little help here. Give me a little help. Because in between life-size anthropomorphic bunnies delivering sweets to children while they sleep, sponsored by the American Dental Society, right? And between that going on, between, you know, the new clothes and the pictures and the meals and all the stuff, it'd be easy to get lost, wouldn't it? Truth of the matter is, Easter's just a single solitary thing for most of us. But we'll stretch out Christmas a month, 6 weeks, some folks that live near us still haven't taken down their Christmas stuff. They've been celebrating all year. And, we kind of do that. I'm just being silly here. We need a little help here. Let me ask a simple question. I want to ask a direct question. When should we celebrate Easter? Think about it. Somebody said something. Should celebrate it all year. Should celebrate it all year. Why should we celebrate it all year? And a gold star to you. Why should we celebrate it all year? What's the anniversary? What's the service anniversary for Easter? Every Sunday, Resurrection Sunday, right? And we've gotten into the mode and the mindset that Easter is a one-off when it ought to be an every week thing. Every week thing. Nod your head if you understand what I'm saying here. I think we've got much to do about Easter. I want to answer a few questions here. And I want to throw some words on the screen here that maybe you don't think belong with the Easter story. But I want to remind you just how far we've gotten away from it biblically. Easter, biblically, is about shame. The disciples slept. Could you not tarry with me 1 hour? When Jesus is captured, they scatter. One does it so badly that he will end up denying Jesus once, twice, three times. And the rooster is going to crow. About shame. They're embarrassed at their behavior. It's about being scared. He's not supposed to die. We're supposed to lead the revolution. Peter draws his little scabbard and takes off the dude's ear. Again, I don't think he was aiming for his ear. I just think it was a bad aim. He's trying to kill the guy. Jesus saves his life, puts the ear back on the high priest's servant and saves Peter from being executed on the spot. They are scared. Easter is about, Easter story is about fear. It's about It's about shame. It's about sorrow. Why sorrow? Because he died. They don't go to the tomb on that resurrection morning looking for a living Savior. They go to pay respects to a dead one. It will be the last thing they get to do for Jesus, they think. And they've come one more time. It's the unmitigated sorrow of grief. It's about, the Easter story has, self-harm in it. So what do you mean? Judas Iscariot can't get over what he did. He can't give the money back. He can't undo the betrayal. He can't forgive himself. And he will end up taking his own life. It's about salvation. From the very first here in Luke chapter 9, verse 51, Jesus is turning his face. He's setting the course. He has ministered, he has labored, and now he is what? This is the final journey, and he's headed toward Calvary. He'll peek in a time or two. He'll make a quick trip into Jerusalem for a feast. But as the grand arc concludes, he is headed to what we call Calvary, the place of the cross. Why he was born, why he was up to, and he is here to accomplish men's salvation. He says so again in verse 56. I didn't come to judge this time. I came to save men's lives. So it's about salvation, and including that sin. Sin. We'll see the sin of the Samaritans here. We'll see the sin of anger in James and John. But it's about your sin and my sin. It's not about good people getting better. This is about awful, lousy, rotten people in desperate need of somebody to help them. So I think we need a fair bit of help about Easter. Nod your head if you would agree with me. Need a little bit of help about Easter here. So why are we calling it a journey? We're calling it a journey because of verse 51. This is when it starts. It'll take Luke to somewhere around chapter 19 to get there. The other writers, Mark, actually does it in a chapter. But this is Jesus' journey. This is him ministering. This is him preaching. At the end of a few more verses there, he sends out the 70 and sends them out by pairs and as evangelists there. And so this is the journey. This is everything that's going on. And so our series, we're calling this journey to Calvary, this journey to the cross. And so I want to give you just a few ideas this morning and then show you why I think it's relevant. How many of you like me, you need a little help every so often remembering what's important? Anybody? Just four of you. The rest of you should be preaching instead of me. And so we want to do that. You say, "Preach, I can't raise my hand and write the notes as well." You keep doing this to us, and so I'm sorry. Yeah, a lot of you are fanning. Anybody's near the controls, don't cut them. Don't cut on the air, but if you cut on the fan, maybe circulate a little bit and help us out there. So is that okay? I know some of you take medicine. You're like me, and you don't like getting cold, but we're just going to turn the fans on, okay? All right, thank you. Thank you. If you can slash, don't slash Andre's tires. Wait for me to get here and slash mine tomorrow. All right. So here we go. Number one, the Easter story just didn't happen. These are not a bunch of random events, and this is not a retelling of the tale. This is the plan of God. This is the purpose of God. This is what God decided and came to this world to do. Go to verse 51, if you would, with me. And if your Bibles are open, we're going to go back a few verses after that. Verse 51, it came to pass when the time was come, he should be received up. That word received up is a one-off. It's a those of you who like these kind of things, a hapax legomena. It's a one-off. There, the variation of this is always used of the ascension. He is already talking about the fact that he's going to be crucified and buried and rise again, and then he's going to ascend back to heaven. So he's talking about this. One writer, and he was speaking kind of tongue-in-cheek, he said he was going up to Jerusalem, he was going up to the cross, and then he was going up to heaven. I like all of those things. He was going this way. He had planned it this way. This is where he was at. If you're there, go back to verse 22. Verse 22, this is not something new. He's been saying this for a moment here in this section. Verse 22, the Son of Man must suffer many things, be rejected of the elders and chief priests and scribes. The religious people are going to say no. And be slain and be raised the third day. The resurrection, the crucifixion, the burial, the betrayal, all of this. He knows what's about to happen, and he is headed this way. Go to verse 31. Who appeared in glory and spoke of his decease, which he should accomplish at Jerusalem. He's headed where it's hard. He is going where he is going to be tortured, beaten, and murdered. He's going to lay his life down. This is the plan of God. It didn't just happen. These are not accidents. These are not random events. This was his point, and this was his purpose. This has always been his purpose. Genesis chapter 3, this first inkling of things. Adam and Eve have messed up so terribly, sinned, and brought with them the condemnation and the separation from God, and passed that on to us, that we have this sinful nature. And God gives them the spark here of hope, speaking of what's going on, and looking, says, I will put enmity or division between thee and the woman, between thy seed, her offspring there, it's a euphemism, and her seed. It'll bruise thy head, talking to the serpent. It's going to what? It's going to crush you. And you will what? You will bruise his head. He will suffer. He will suffer. Prophesied there. Prophesied there. It's not just there. Luke, excuse me, Psalm 22, verse 1, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Why art thou so far from helping me and from the words of my roaring? Psalm 22, verse 13. Excuse me, I'm poured out like water. Verse 14, all my bones are out of joint. My heart is like wax. I melt in the midst of my strength. My strength is dried up like a potsherd. My tongue cleaves to my jaws. Thou hast brought me to the dust of death. Prophecy over and over in the Old Testament pointing to the cross. Genesis 22:8, and Abraham said, my son, God will provide himself a lamb, foreshadowing what was to come. The Christmas verse, Isaiah 7:14. Therefore, the Lord shall give you a sign. Aren't you glad God does what he does visibly, intelligently, something we can hear and understand? He'll give you a sign. What's a sign? A virgin will conceive and bear a son. You'll call his name Emmanuel, God with us. We couldn't go to him. He came to us. What's the story of Easter? The story of Easter is the culmination of the plan of God to save mankind from their sins. Matthew 1:21 summarizes, she'll bring forth a son, thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. When I hear people talk and describe and look at all these things, and they act like it's all a bunch of misunderstood or random events, I want to remind you, there's a plan and a purpose. And he knew it. He knew how hard it was going to be. He knew the suffering that was ahead, and he set his face that way. This is what we're going to do. This is how we're going to go. This is how we're going to go. Aren't you glad that God has a plan and a purpose for you and for me that was included in what he did on the road to Calvary? Say amen. Amen. And let me give you a second thing. You say, preacher, that's pretty obvious. That's pretty obvious. Well, I'm glad it's obvious. Maybe this one's not. The Easter story demands a response. The Easter story demands a response. I'm going to do my very best not to blow my nose in the microphone. But if I do, I'm very sorry. So there we go. I did okay, right? Didn't scare anybody. So when you got a cough and you cough in the microphone, you wake up people and that's bad. That's bad. The Easter story demands a response. Your Bibles are still open. Maybe I think I gave you the text on the handout there. Go to verse 52 if you would. Go to verse 52. Don't miss this. And the messenger sent messengers for his face. And they went and entered to a village of the Samaritans to make ready for him. The Samaritans knew who he was. They knew that who he claimed to be didn't line up with what they believed. And they said, no, thank you. And they rejected him. See, not everybody's on board. Not everybody thinks this is a good story. Not everybody's real happy about all this. Not real fun to tell people you're wrong. Now, some of you, anybody here, you like telling people they're wrong? A few of you. How many of you like to tell me I'm wrong for asking? And we get there. How many of you like to avoid conflict? Like to avoid conflict, all right? How many of you will avoid conflict until you're like, no. And then, okay. A few of you. How many of you are just like, nope, I just watch it all go by, yeah. Demands a response here. You're not neutral about this story here. The story here. They're going to range the housing, and they said no, thank you. They understood. Let me give you three reasons I think why they said no. First of all, they had their own system of worship that did not include Jesus. They had their own system of worship that did not include the Messiah. They had a little of this and a little bit of paganism. A little bit of Judaism, a little bit of paganism. And they'd mixed it all together. They said, we worship here, you worship there. You have your God and we have our God, and we'll just all be okay together. Jesus said, we're learning some of these verses, by the way. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. See, the Easter story demands a response. If he was virgin born, and he was, and he never sinned, and he didn't, and he really did die, and he really was buried, and he really did come back from the grave, that demands a response from you and I. You don't get to pick and choose parts of the story. You don't get to pick and choose how you feel about your sin. You look at Calvary, and you go, oh man, I have a decision to make here. Do I accept him or reject him? Do I bow the knee of my heart and repent of my sins and put my faith and trust in the one who did all these things? Or do I just cross my fingers and hope maybe I can figure out another way? How many of you know, don't raise your hand, how many of you know some people that hope that their little concoction, their little witch's brew is good enough? I got a little of this and got a little of that. Try and do good to my neighbor. They don't realize, man, the Easter story demands a response from them. Absolutely demands a response. I think secondly, they understood that Jesus was there on his way to die. They knew enough of the Old Testament. They knew the Messiah was going to die. And they didn't want any part in that. Why? Because the third thing, they understood the high cost of obedience. The high cost of obedience. Not all his disciples had figured that out, but a lot of the Samaritans had. They just said, no, thank you. No, thank you. The bar of forgiveness is low. It's been paid for. The cost of following Jesus is high. If any man come after me, let him take up his cross, deny himself, and follow me. They'd heard the message, and they said, no, thank you. They said, no, thank you. It demands a response. And then there's a third thing I think you see here in the passage. I think it'll help us as we answer the questions. Why is the Easter important? The third thing, it matters more than you may think. It matters more than you may think. Now, I've hustled through here because I want to spend a little bit of time here. Is that okay with everybody? I've hustled through here because I want to make sure we get this. It matters more than you may think. And I'm not trying to be insulting here, but I'm trying to speak from my own heart. I think sometimes we get numb to some things and we get used to some things and I don't know what we do. But instead of being amazed that it's Resurrection Sunday, we're like, oh, man, Sunday. Ugh. Oh, Bible. Ugh. You know, we feel guilty about things or we diminish things. Well, I hope the preacher's on today instead of, man, it's Sunday. We get to think about the fact that Jesus rose from the dead and he offers eternal life to us. Aren't we kind of confused? Now, let me help you. The wear and tear of life and things go bad on Saturday. I'm not saying you wake up every Sunday zippity-doo-dah. I'm talking about a mentality and a mindset. And we get used to some things, and we get less enamored than we used to be with some things. And so maybe it matters more than we think. Verse 56. Go back there with me. The Son of Man is not come to destroy men's lives, but to save them. And they went on to another village. They went on to another village. Let me give you some things that may throw some lubrication in the gears. It may help us to think a little differently. May I offer to you that I think maybe Christmas, probably really more about Easter? He wasn't just born, he was born to die. He was born to save men from their sins. John the Baptist says, the Son of Man has come seeking to save that which is lost. Jesus echoes behind him and says, I've come to seek and to save that which is lost. When he was come, he wasn't come to give us a good example. He was come to be the perfect sacrifice. And if all we ever do is get happy about inoffensive baby Jesus, we miss the offense of the cross. And I would remind us that we constantly need to have that look. And I love the little depictions people sometimes have of a Christmas tree in the shadow, and the shadow turns into a cross. So he was born to die, as Ron Hamilton so eloquently penned so many years ago in a fantastic Christmas program drama. Secondly, and I just didn't know another way to write this, so I wrote it like this. I hope it's okay. I don't think it's really good English or a very good grammar, but I think it's a great way to put it. Is everybody okay if I malign English language for just a moment? All right. Like three of you. The rest of you are critiquing me on Yelp. I understand. Number two, you, messy, sinful, ungodly, undeserving, heinous, sinner, you matter to God. With all your baggage and all your garbage and all your heartache and all your attempts and failures and attempts and failures and shame and sorrow and sin and separation and all the things I mentioned at the start, you matter to God. Man, that's the Easter story, isn't it? You matter to God. James and John said, just wipe them out, Lord. Aren't you glad? God said, no, we'll go another place. Somebody listen. Not for nothing. This John here, Acts chapter 8, verse 25, this John here is going to go back to those Samaritan villages and preach about the resurrected Christ to them again. That's the change in his heart. Aren't you glad when others give up on you, God has not? Aren't you glad that if you're still alive and drawing breath, that there is hope for you and that God may have that whole thing set up to change your life in an instant because of what he did? We start looking at people as, man, they matter to God. They matter to God. You matter to God. The Easter story screams that. He goes out of his way to go to this village, and they say, no, thank you. You can't even stay here. No, we're not going to destroy him. That wasn't the plan. The plan was to save him. We'll go another village. We'll take our time. Make our way. There's people to see, people to talk to, people to interact with. Messy, sinful, undeserving people just like me. Just like you. You matter to God. Matter to God. By the way, I'd stop the service right now and we all be real excited, wouldn't we? You matter to God. I think it's the third principle here. If you're looking at the cross and Calvary and all that Jesus is about to suffer, if you're talking about the Easter story, then you got to be understanding that sin is not some small flaw. It's what separates you from God. We've got this dumb expression in English, don't we? Better to ask for forgiveness than permission. Anybody ever heard that, said that, used that this morning? Better to ask this way? It doesn't matter. We've refined it, especially here in the South. We refined it. We say something dumb like, well, that's just your opinion. Again, if we're talking sports or we're talking who's got the better burrito, I suppose that's logical. But if the Bible has spoken on it, it doesn't really matter what your opinion is. We even have a song we like to sing occasionally. God said it, and I believe it, and that settles it. It's a great little ditty, but it's really bad theology. It doesn't matter if you believe it or not. God said it, and that settles it. And when we talk about sin, this is the problem. Problem's not all the hypocrites in church. By the way, if the church is full of them and you come in, it won't make any difference. The water's warm. We can accept one more. Amen. Come on in the house. It didn't all these other things. Let me give you a timeout. If you've been hurt by people who ought to have known better, I'm as sorry as I can be. But I promise you, the Savior has never done you that way. And your hope needs to be in him and not somebody else who should have known better. It's what separates you from God. The Easter story spotlights our sinfulness. Number four, Easter lets us know why good works don't work. If you just do better and give a little more and do a little more and pick up a little more garbage and feed a few more folks and help some folks out when the roof blows off, if you just do a little better... And what in the world is all this about? Why has Jesus got to go down a cross if there's other ways to have the righteousness of God given to you? If there's other ways to have your sin forgiven? You want to know some of the most tragic and entrapping things we've ever concocted? It's to tell a bunch of people that your folks, your grandparents, your aunts and your uncles have died, and the only way they have any hope of any eternal relief is for you to constantly come and serve in the hope that they might one day be granted release from this awful temporary prison. And you are ensnared with the guilt of other people's sins. We figured out all kind of crazy ways to extend this good works and mentality. There are not enough candles to light. There are not enough buildings to build. There are not enough nickels to give to ever, 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 ever atone from your sinfulness and my sinfulness. We have infinitely offended a holy God who demands absolute purity and righteousness, and none of us are about that, but there was one. His name is Jesus. He never sinned. He went to the cross and died for your sins and mine, not his own sins. And it's not our works. We learned that in Ephesians a few weeks ago. Not by works, not for we are for by grace are you saved through faith, and not of works. Lest any man should boast, there will be no one strutting in heaven. There's never been a proud believer who had any sense about him. Humility is the order of the day, because we figure out the closer we get to God, the awful and more heinous our sin is. The Apostle Paul said it so well. He starts walking through. At the end of his life, he no longer talks about his credentials. He no longer talks about any of those kind of things. He just simply says, I am the chief of sinners. Good works don't work. Not enough water. Not enough water in the ocean to cleanse your sin. Excuse me. Not enough things, catechisms to learn. Number five. See, the story of Easter reveals the heart and the plan of God. Right where you are. Right where you are. God loves you. Right in the mess you're in. Best day of your life, the worst time of your life. Here's the heart and plan of God. I didn't come to destroy. I came to save you. I came to change you. They won't listen. We'll go somewhere else. Somebody needs to know. Somebody will hear. Somebody will listen. By the way, he's got lots of appointments. These next 10 chapters here that are just amazing. The heart and the plan of God. If this is the heart and the plan of God, don't you think we ought to be interested in the heart and the plan of God? As we journey to the cross, shouldn't we be awakened again? Man, this was his plan. This was his heart. This ought to be our heart. We are judgmental and we are critical and we barricade ourselves. And it's unbelievable what we do as we miss these things for him. I gave you something. Those of you looking on the app or the handout there. A little passage I found Ray Comfort had cobbled together. Let me read a little bit of it to you, and this is how we're going to close. Charles Spurgeon, that prince of preachers, said, we need to be ashamed at the bare suspicion of unconcern. A Christian cannot be apathetic about the salvation of the world. The love of God in him will motivate him to seek and to save that which was lost. Let's do a little check-in here. Somewhere on your paper, you've got room. I don't think this person knows Jesus. I don't think this person knows Jesus. I don't think this person has a church home. What's the names that come quickly to mind that need to know Christ? Remember, you have the sobering responsibility of speaking to other people's loved ones. Perhaps other Christians have prayed earnestly God would use a faithful witness to speak to their mom or dad, and you are the answer to the prayer. You are the true and faithful witness God wants to use. Keep the fate of the ungodly before your eyes. Too many of us settle down on a padded chair and become introverted. Our world becomes a monastery without walls. Our friends are only those inside the church, while Jesus is who? The friend of sinners. So befriend the lost for the sake of their salvation. Remember, every person who dies in their sins has an appointment with the judge of the universe. Hell gapes open its wide, terrible jaws. There is no more sobering task to be entrusted with the gospel. working with God for the eternal well-being of ever-dying humanity. The preacher, why would you put that in there? Because it's the heart and the plan of God. I set my face, he says, toward Jerusalem. I am on the way to that cross because men and women need to know the gospel. Why are we so hard after someone who can work exclusively with our young people and bring them in and figure out how to pay for that and all? Because the average age now is under 12. It's almost 80% make the decision for Christ before they hit that age. And we're surrounded by lots of children under the age of 12. Man, we've got to reach them. Some of you right now, you're trying to talk to 50 and 60-year-olds, and they're so jaded and so calloused. And it feels like you need an atomic bomb to get through to them. God's put you in their life as an ambassador of the gospel. Come take the journey to the cross. Take the journey to Calvary. He did that for you. He did that for me. You say, if I was to trust Christ today, people would snicker because they think I'm already a Christ follower. Today's your day. Today's your day. Give up trying to work it out, trying to be good enough. You're never going to be good enough. There was only one good, and that was King Jesus. The heart and the plan of God. Who's on your heart today? It's in God's plan. Who's in your heart today? On your heart today? It's part of the plan of God. Does Easter matter? Does it matter? It matters so much. It matters so much. It matters to those of you dealing with shame, with fear, with sorrow, self-harm. It matters to those of you struggling. And to admit I'm a sinner I'd have to be humble. It matters to those of us we want to see the plan of God fulfilled, whether we need salvation initially or we want to see others. It matters. I hope it matters to you. Would you pray with me right now?